Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Let's go into prayer before we go back into worship. Lord, I just ask that you make your presence felt here today. Lord, I just ask that anybody who's going through something, you give them peace, you give them rest, Lord. God, I just ask that you help us to take that word that you give us today, to put it in our life, Lord, that it's something where we are better ambassadors for you, Lord, that we are bringing your presence, your light, your love into this world that needs it so much. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. I was going to come up last week, but I just didn't make the timing cut. But I wrote this down last week, and I wanted to share it with you. Sometimes we just look at our despair in life. Sometimes we look at all our sorrows and all everything. It's gloomy and doomy. And I was talking to Oscar this morning. He was talking about waking up with a donkey face. So I thought I'd share this with you anyway. Don't look down with regrets. Look to Jesus above. He is the answer, and He is pure love. Hold fast to the hope He brings us each day. Fall on your knees and continually pray. Look not at your sorrows or problems around. When they are your focus, all fear will abound. Put your faith in Jesus. He's rock solid ground. Nothing else matters. He holds us with care. Lean on His promises, not on despair. He carried all sorrows and knows our tomorrows. Look to His word. He knows all our needs. Sit at His feet and on His word feed. Rise up from your gloom. Get out of the tomb. Hold on to Jesus. He's our best friend. Cling to Him always. On Him only depend.
To extol Him. And so He gave me Psalm 34 for this same reason. He says here in Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praises will be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And then I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. That's what we were just singing about. All shame is gone. Isn't it awesome that we serve a mighty God that just wipes our sins away? And our shame is gone. Just extol His holy name this morning. Amen.
There's a word for someone that may be having something coming against them or fighting, and the Lord says that, you know how you win a battle? Is you don't get in the ring. Turn and sit at His feet and sit in the light, for in Him is complete light, and in Him the darkness. There cannot be no darkness. There is no darkness in Him, and there's rest in Him. Like, there's a place of rest. It's complete rest and complete light. So don't get in the ring. Don't get in the battle. Let Him take care of it for you. There is no darkness in light.
Worthy is the name of our Lord God. He's our rock. He's our firm foundation. He's our everything. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our prayers. He's our mighty counselor. peace. He's our love. He's our joy. He is everything to us. Is he not worthy of our praise? He's not only worthy, but he gives us life eternally. Thank you.
And God is good. Yeah. I was pondering, what would we do if the king walked into the room? What would he do? What would he say? Would he teach us about the end times? Would he teach us about the kingdom? Would he come and point out your shame or your sin? What would he do? I think what he would do is he would come and he would sit and would look at you in the face, and he would just look and he would say to you after a while, just look at me, just look. What do you see? He would say, what do you see? And I think, being speechless, we would wonder, what is it that we're looking at? Who are we looking at? This King of Glory. And until he got our attention enough to realize that he says, what you're looking at is what my Father sees when he looks at you. So Jesus would be face to face with us, not trying to teach us anything, not trying to divide right from wrong, but he would just say, look at me, because what you see is what the Father sees. When we look at Jesus and the Father looks at us, he's seeing his Son. He's not seeing your shame. He's not seen your sin. He's not seen your disappointment. He's not seen your failures, your misunderstandings. He's just seen his Son in you. He's seen perfection. He's seen his image in you. He's seen his reflection in you. We may not see it. We may not feel it. We may not understand it. But that's what he says back in the beginning. He says, let's make them in our likeness and in our image. And he's bringing us back to that place where he's revealing in you his original intent and his original intention for the earth. When he made Adam, he was thinking of you. When he formed Eve, he was thinking of you. When Jesus came to redeem, he was thinking of you. Today, when you got up and got ready to come, he was thinking about you. As you sit here right now, listening, he's thinking about you. Oh, come on, church. I don't think we realize the love of the Father for you. Right now, in this place, from the beginning of time to now to tomorrow, it hasn't changed. It won't change. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forever. No matter how far we try to run, he's there. No matter where we go, he's there. No matter what we think, he's there. And he's here now. And he's here now. He's just sitting with you right now, right here, calling you, saying, come up here, come up here, come up here.
Okay, I'm gonna do my best to kind of keep you guys so I can see. It's like it's weird because what God's showing me is almost like it's not on a ground, right? But there's these two, like, rocks or patches of
dirt. Anyways, there's a foot on one and a foot on another. And they're moving apart. And it's like a stretching. Where our legs or somebody's legs are like literally going as far as they could. Oh, I just, right when I said that. I have an easy way to show you. In basketball practice, there's a few kids that we've been telling them. They keep stopping and they extend, right? Like this. And when they're extended, we told them, you're not stable. You're easy to push over. You're easy to make fall, right? So we've been trying to teach them, like, don't have one foot back. End with your feet together so that you can be stable and you have strength, right? So that somebody can't just push you over. I really wasn't going to talk about this because I didn't really know what he was saying and showing me that. But then the second I tried to say it to you guys, it all came in. And that's the thing, is that, see, sometimes we have our feet on two things, right? We're trying to go after what God says, but at the same time, we are so desperately holding on to that footing that's on that other side or in the past or whatever it might be. But see, God tells us to press forward towards the prize, right?
Because he really talked to me about how I'm gonna mend your marriage and I'm gonna
going to do some things for you. But the thing that's going to get in the way is your unforgiveness. And that's for thing, unforgiveness. See, that's the thing. Because sometimes we can speak what we want to see, but we don't ever actually do it. See, it's an action. When we say we're going to forgive, you got to learn that that means 100% forgiveness. It's gone. I'm never bringing it up again. I'm never putting it in your face. I'm never saying anything because it is gone. I forgave it. It's 100% out. See, God wants to do the same exact things in our lives all the time. What happened? It's gone. It's done. Just like Tommy was talking about, he saw you in all of it. It's been dealt with. You've been redeemed. You've been forgiven, and it's been washed. So let it go. Everything that you're worried about or holding on to, he already knew about it before, and he knew about it before you even did it and went through it, but it's gone for him. It's already been paid for, and he's wanting you to learn to press forward, move forward. Don't be on like what I'm seeing where you're on two different planes going two different ways. See, he wants to give us a firm foundation, and that foundation, it's on him. So just, I want us all, can we all stand up this week, this song? I just enjoyed it so much because it's really time spent with him, right? Like, during the week when I listened to the song, I just enjoyed the time, right? Because that's the thing. It doesn't matter what we go through, what's going on in our lives, what happened in our past, any of that stuff. He is worthy of our praise all the time because he's done so much and is continuing to do so much. And that time that we spend in his presence, laying things down, allowing him to speak to us, is never wasted. Ever. It's always important. It's always something that is a gift, right? So let's go back into the bridge of this song, team, sorry. And I just want to encourage you, if you've got something that you are holding on to this morning, if you've got something you felt like it's got a hold on your life, it doesn't matter what it is, let's just worship him and just lay it all down. Just let's prepare for an awesome word, right? Because God's got something for us. And I just really feel it. Like, let's just lay this all down this morning and prepare for what he has for us.
He is worthy to be praised. He is a name above all names. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the I am that I am. He is there for anything that we need. He is so good. We are so blessed. We are blessed as we go in. We are blessed as we go out. We are blessed in the fruit of our body. We are blessed in our store basket. We are blessed. Do we really know who we are in Christ and how blessed we are? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name, yes, for he is worthy. He is worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Another name like Jesus. Hallelujah. Another name by which man can be saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Is he worthy of our praise? Is he worthy of our worship? Oh, come on, folks. Let's give him a hand. Jesus, we love you. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you've done, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Ooh, feels good in here. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Just the doorkeeper, Lord. Just one that opens and closes the door for people, Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper than to dwell in tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oof. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Point of no return. That's the title of our message today. Point of no return. If you will, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. As you can probably figure that pastor's reading in Genesis because all my messages are coming out of Genesis so far this year. I like to start out the year in Genesis and just start reading the Bible through. I want to get through with it by the time I get to December. Revelation should be hitting me around December and in my normal reading. And I just enjoy trying. Can I say trying? Is that okay? Trying to read the Bible all the way through in a year. I think it's a good project if you haven't done it. Read the Word of God. Let God's Word, the more you read, the more you'll see things. The more you see things, it'll connect you all over the Bible. You'll begin to be just this little study magnet that just goes all over the Bible in your reading time. And then you can tell, Lord, hey, I can't read this way. Lord, you're taking me all over, which is good. How many say amen? It's good to connect the scriptures. You know, the Word of God says precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That's how you're going to learn the things of God. God's going to teach you that way. And so what you discover in God's Word is important to you. Because a lot of times God is trying to get something to you. And sometimes what He's trying to get to us, we're not eager for. But whatever He's trying to place in our hands or in our lives, it's good for us. Can you say amen? It's always good. God is good. God is good. God is good. He's always good. God is good. He's always good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray with me for just a second. Father, I just thank you for your word. God, Father, open the hearts of your people, Lord, myself included, to hear what you desire to say to us this morning, Lord. Father, your word has told us that in the last days, knowledge will be on an increase. But Father, understanding is what we want, God. What we desire is understanding. Knowledge is fine. But understanding, Lord, it's revealing. It reveals things to us. Shows us what's coming. Shows us a step, the next step, Father. So I pray this morning, God, that you would reveal things to your people today. Let them receive something new in their spirit. What you have for them, Father. I thank you for it, and I praise you for it, God. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, for your grace, amen. Amen. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 in Genesis chapter 24. And Abraham was old. Nice way to start out the chapter. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Isn't that good? All things, he meant. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. It's kind of a funny thing that Abraham's asking his servant to do. Put your hand under my... Abraham's old, is that right? He's an old guy. And so what he says, put your hand... Tommy, come here, man. Come... Yeah, oh boy, oh boy, oh, you can leave your cup somewhere. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, and so Tommy's Abraham. Come on, have a seat. Abraham, and he's old and well stricken in years. What do you think of that? Yeah, and I'm his young servant. Come on, hey. Yeah, come on. And what Abraham tells his servant is to do this. He says, put your hand under my thigh. So this is, in other words, that man has to get down and get right under his thigh. And so he is absolutely face to face, absolutely looking right into his eyes. And Abraham is talking, getting ready to talk to him. You know, folks, this is the way God wants to talk to us, face to face, eyes to eyes. Okay, thank you, young man. He's not that young. There you go. I mean, not that old, sorry. Yeah, that I just wanted to show that. I just wanted that Abraham asked his son, his servant, to put his hand under his thigh because he's going to look right down into that guy and say something to him. And he says this. He says, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. I'm sure the servant was probably going, oh, this is about Isaac. Okay. He says, I want you to swear to me that you're not going to find, that you will not take a wife for him from the daughters other than of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. He said, but you shall go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife to my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Lest I needs bring your son again into the land from whence you came. And Abraham said to him, beware. Everybody say beware. Beware that you bring not my son there again. Don't take him there. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spoke unto me, that swear unto me, saying, unto your seed will I give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife unto my son from there. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this your oath. Only bring not my son there again. He said it twice. Don't take him there. Don't take him over there. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. Abraham had told the servant, he said, look, God gave me this land and my children this land. See, you see, God knew Abraham. God had tested Abraham over and over and over. There was tests for Abraham around every corner. And one of the tests was he was testing his intercessory powers, if you will. Do you remember when God said, hey, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham says, well, what if there's 50 good, righteous people? Will you kill everybody for 50? And God says, okay, no, for 40. He says, all right. So then you ask him again, well, what if there's not 40? How about if there's only 30? Okay, I'll do only 30. Okay, well, how about if there's only 20 and there's not 30? And Abraham keeps going back. But see, God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You guys all know the story about that. That all the things that they were doing. I don't think you need to know what all the things they were doing, but they were doing some bad stuff. And God was preparing to kill them. And in Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 through 19, God makes a statement. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do? How many of you know that God's not trying to hide from us anything? God is trying to reveal things to us. He's always wanting to show us stuff. He said, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the world, of the earth, shall be blessed in him. God is confirming again his word. And then he says, for I know him. Isn't it good that God knew Abraham? How do you know him? Through those trials that Abraham went through, that Abraham was faithful. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. And God says, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. Is that good? And they shall keep the way of the Lord. I mean, just leave it right there. He will command his household and his children after him. Isn't that something? Can I tell you, there's more folks in the world today need to be able to think about this scripture and command their household after the Lord. Can you say amen to that? People need to speak to their kids, say, hey, this is what you need to do. Hey, man, you know what? Are you praying? That's a good question for your child, isn't it? Are you praying? Well, Dad, I'm afraid I'm not going to pass my social study test. Well, are you praying? Are you studying? Are you doing what you need to be doing? God says, I know Abraham. He will command his children after him. So here is Abraham telling, don't you let him go back into that country where I came out of. I don't want him there. He made sure, remember that. Abraham, he had reached a point of no return, not going back. How many of you know we need to have a point of no return in our life? Can you say amen to that? Oh, come on, man. Point of no return. Anybody ever eaten in a restaurant that was horrible?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever go back? Somewhere inside that restaurant, you reached a point of no return. I ain't coming back to this place. Is that right? I remember when I'm going to tell you about when I was in elementary school and how smart I was. I was out on the playground one day, and the other kids are over there playing volleyball, and the volleyball come rolling out to me. I was in the playground, just it's like a softball field. And they're yelling at me, hey, throw the ball back. And there was this kid running to me towards coming after the ball. His name was Andy Mason. I'll never forget him. I told you heard this story before? I told you. I grabbed the ball and I'm looking at him. And as he's getting close to me, I turned and I kicked it in the other direction. Boom! And I'm watching that ball sail over there. And that kid jumped me like... And boom, man, I mean, he literally lowered the boom on me, Andy Mason. And I reached the point of no return. I said, I ain't ever going to do that again. I mean, I became a real nice guy after that. I said, man, hey, fighting ain't good in the play, especially if you're one getting beat up. But I'll tell you what, I learned something. It was a point of no return for me. I was having a hard time getting away from alcoholism, a real hard time, and I knew it. I knew that I could not quit drinking. It was. I didn't know how to stop. I kept telling Rosie, "I'm going to quit." We were Catholics, and Lent happened. I said, "For Lent, I'm giving up. I'm going to give up drinking." She goes, "Okay." Year after year, I try and I couldn't even make. I couldn't even make it 2 weeks in Lent. Well, how long is Lent? 40 days. Couldn't even make it. Years later, I tell her, "Hey, I'm gonna quit drinking." Whatever. That's her response to me. Good luck. Yeah. hey, come on. But I just couldn't. It just wasn't happening. I tried, and I couldn't. And it wasn't until I gave my heart to the Lord. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, I would run, come out of that mine, and I'd hit the Circle K right here, and I would buy every day after work, I would buy at least 2 6-packs of beer, and then on the weekends I'd buy a case and make sure I had enough beer for the weekend. And I just drank beer all the time. It's just who I was, and I knew inside of me it was not doing good. My wife was looking at me like, man, I married a drunk, and that wasn't good. But yet, I couldn't stop. I tried to stop, and I couldn't do it. But when I gave my heart to the Lord that day, I passed right by Circle K and went straight home. And I told my wife I quit drinking. She was mad at me because I was drunk the day before. She wasn't happy with me. And she just looked at me, and she goes, ha! Well, I've heard that before. And I said, oh, yeah, you're mad. I forgot you were mad. It wasn't until about a week or two later that she realized that I had quit drinking. I knew that day. It happened just like that. There was no AA involved. There was none of that. It was the Holy Spirit came within me, and He cleared something out of me that I couldn't clear, that it was impossible for me to do on my own. He did a work deep within me. And it's been a point of no return. People drink around me. There's people that have a few drinks and everything. I don't mind that. It doesn't bother me. I'm not going to, your drink is going to send you to hell. I don't do that to people. You know what? I've realized that if I couldn't do it, how are they going to do it unless they know the Lord? My best bet on telling somebody that is just say, hey, you know that Jesus paid a price for you. And He washed that away from me, if you'll believe it. It's a beautiful thing what He did. But see, I'm not at a point of no return. I don't return to that. I don't have any draw. My pastor, when I was, he knew my past. He knew I was a drunk. He's the one that led me to the Lord that morning. I don't know. I never did ask him if he smelled me, because I know I was drunk when I went in there. But when I came out of that vault, I was sober, man. God had done a wash on me that I had never realized could ever happen. And so I never asked him, but he would tell me, we'd go to Bisbee. And he goes, Henry, yeah, stay away from them bars. What are you talking about? What are you afraid of? I was confident even then that I would not go back. That was 1979, hadn't drank since. 1979, how many years is that, anybody? That's a lot. That's a lot. I can imagine that I saved a lot of money from 1979 to now. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, hey, come on, move over, Mr. Trump. Yeah, come on, whatever. Yeah, yeah, hey. But I'll tell you what, it was a point of no return. I want to take you to John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. This is a place in Jesus' life. He's just getting ready to show Himself really in a real strong way that He is who He says He is, because He's headed for the cross. Can you say amen? He's headed that way. And He heard that Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus was sick, and He waits. When they told Him He was sick, He waited until Lazarus died. And then He heads over there. Now here's Lazarus' sister Martha coming to Jesus. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall live again, shall rise again. And Martha said to Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection, is what she said. She knew about the resurrection, is that right? In the resurrection at the last day. See, placing the resurrection way towards the end of life, towards the end of the planet kind of thing, way out. And Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet, what? Shall he live. says another little place. This is one little place that I love, but I can't get into it today. But he says, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Believe thou this? Do you believe it? He asked her. She said, yeah, Lord, of course. Yeah, I believe. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She was a little shaky on what he was about to do. He didn't really tell her what she was going to do. But she says, yeah, you can do all things. And he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And she says, yeah, okay, whatever. Okay, Jesus. Kind of passed by his words, didn't he? Didn't she? Wouldn't you say she did? I'll tell you she did, because in this next, if you read, we're going to jump down to 38 through 44. And he says this, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. And it was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, what? He says, take away the stone. Martha, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time, what? He's stinking. He's got a stink on him. You won't believe. You don't want to take that rock off him. You don't want to move that stone off. He says, no, man, for he has been dead how many days? For this, see, in Martha's mind, he was past the what? The point of no return. Isn't that right? He was very well past that point. He said, man, if you would have came when that night he died, that might have been good. But 4 days later, Jesus, come on, your clock's off. He's past that point of no return. Jesus said to her, said I not to thee that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? What he said? Did he say that to her? No, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, he's telling her the resurrection and the life is standing right in front of you. Do you believe it? Jesus said to her, I said I not to you that you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So much in this. There's so much in this scripture. And I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound with hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin, and Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Amen. What a surprise, wouldn't you say? A man that was past the point of no return, Jesus just brought him right up. Can I say to you that Jesus can do anything? Okay. Without a doubt, the God who we serve can do anything he wants to do. Steve and I were talking about that this morning. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Do you believe that he can do what he says he'll do in your life? Or do you just say, well, I did believe, but I don't know now. Years have gone by. Oh, man. I would tell you, keep believing, keep watching, and keep praying. Can you say amen to that? I was talking to my son, and I was telling him that God did something for me, brought me to a point of no return with alcoholism. And he asked me a question. How? How? And I said, you know, he placed something deep within me. How? And you go, well,
And you go, what was it that he put in you? How? How did he do it? How? And I told him, shut up. I don't know. Can I tell you? I really don't know how it happened. I know that he came in and he did something to me. And it's like he rooted that thing out like it was a bad cancer and just tossed it out of my life. I don't know how. But it was power. I know that it was power. How? Come on, man. Don't ask me that. He says, because, Dad, I'm going to tell you something. People want to know how. They want to know how. I said, ooh, you're right. All right, hang up now. I gotta do my study, bro. How does he do these things? And can I tell you, with all of us, it changes. He does it in a variety of ways that you cannot put your finger on. He won't let you get a recipe. Thank you. He's not going to let you get a recipe on it because he doesn't work by recipes. He works by individuals, and he knows them. He knows everything about them, from the beginning to the end. He knows everything about them. He knows. And how he does it, I don't know. Come on, man. I know that he is all-powerful, and he can take anyone and change their heart if he wants to. Is that right? You remember Paul the Apostle? Grabbed him, threw him off his donkey, rattled his cage, man, and raised him up, and that's what we're reading through. We read the Word of God. We got the Apostle's words in here. God can make those changes, but how? It kind of bothered me last night. How? Shut up, son. I don't know how. I don't know how he did it. But I do know kind of some stuff. Galatians chapter 2:20 says this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I will tell you what God did. Listen to this. I mean, this is what God did. He killed that in me. He killed it. Can you say amen? He placed a sentence on it and it killed me in that area. Can you say amen? It's a beautiful thing what God does and how he does it. He killed it. And my wife couldn't believe it. And then I was resurrected. No, I never got resurrected in that stuff. He killed it. I never wanted it again. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15 says this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Is that right? Set your heart on things above. I do remember a little bit before that, I was talking to a young man named Lee Sines, and he was talking to me about the Lord. And the more he talked to me, the more I had kind of a hunger. I was hungering for the things of God. And I really didn't understand what was going on. Now, looking back, oh boy, I understand what was happening. But at that time, I didn't understand that my hunger was placing the Word in me. The Holy Spirit was using my hunger to deliver the Word. Can you say amen to that? I will tell you, if you're not hungry for the Word of God, if you're not hungry for what He has for you, you might not ever find what He has for you because you're not hungry for it. Can you say amen to that? He has it for you. He wants to deliver it to you. But if you don't go after it, if you don't get hungry for it, you're not going to get anything. And that's a sad place to be, folks. Where God wants to give it to you, because you're not hungry for it. You're hungry for the things of the world, and He has that thing is blocking what He has for you. He wants to give it to you. Oh. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ seats where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you what? You died. And your life now is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I just want you to not take that as when he appears years from now, weeks from now. People tell you, well, the Lord is coming today. You're going to be here tomorrow night, whatever. No. When will he appear? He'll appear to you anytime you're ready. When you're hungry and you're searching for him, God's going to appear to you. He's going to reveal something to you. And folks, your eyes might not even be involved. It's your heart. You see things that you've never seen before. You understand things you never understood before. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That appearance brings a glory to you that you hadn't experienced. Can you say amen? And then he says this, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put it to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger. Anybody get angry in here? Oh, let me tell you about my anger. No, I better not. Rid yourself of all of these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language out of your mouth, out of your lips. Lie not one to another, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of his creator. There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive. What's that word? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Amen? All that to say this, look, how many of you know we're dead? The Word of God tells us over and over that we have been crucified with Christ. It says that we have, therefore, you that are dead in Christ, is that right? There's another place where it says, consider yourself, in the King James it says, reckon yourself, but consider yourself to be dead to the things of this world. Folks, death is a point of no return. Is that okay? So he says, let your anger be put off. Is that right? And some folks will say this, well, Jesus got mad. Yeah, well, there is a difference in the anger that he showed than what we showed towards it. How many of you know that? Folks, people get angry at folks just for taking their parking spot. Is that right? People get angry for the silliest things. Is that right? Anger because of what's going on in our government. Anger. All these anger. God says that we are of a kingdom. We belong to a kingdom. And he says in that kingdom, the one who you are in that kingdom is a new one. A new person. Is that right? It says you have put off the old man and you put on the new. Is that right? Which is renewed in knowledge, renewed in righteousness, renewed in the things of God. I have talked with people that have told me I'm so angry. I've talked with people that said I will never forgive them out of their own lips. I said, you better reconsider your position. Reconsider your position. Why would you tell me to reconsider my position just because I don't want to forgive somebody? Because your position is not allowed in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? Can I just tell you that, folks? If you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, you need to bring it to a point of no return. You never should go there again. I don't care what they've done to you. It doesn't matter. God says you're a new creature. You're a new creation. Let it go. Let it go. Oh, there was an old song. I was telling Rosie this morning. I said, there's an old song that this one friend of, it was actually her boyfriend's brother. Anyway, she goes, Henry. Her boyfriend's brother taught me a song on the guitar one time, and it was an old song. But I was listening to it the other day, and I go, wow, this is a pretty good song. And these are the words to it. You want me to sing it to you? Yeah, right. Come on. No, you don't. It says, like a long, lonely stream, I keep reaching towards a dream, moving on, moving on, like a branch on a tree, I keep reaching to be free, moving on, moving on. Does anybody remember the song? Not so well. There's a place in the sun, not this sun. Anybody want to build a house on the sun? That's nuts. There's a place in the sun where there's hope for everyone, where my poor, restless heart gotta run. Yes, there's a place in the sun, and before this life is done, I've gotta find me a place in the sun. But the part that I like about the song, it's a good song. I mean, I like that song. You guys remember the song? But the part that says, moving on, moving on. If you got something like an unforgiveness or anger in your heart towards anybody, I don't care if they're not even Christian, so I can be mad at them. No, you can't. You need to move on. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to kill that thing within you, because He will if you'll let it. If you'll make a decision in your heart saying, I'm not going back there, allow Him to murder the thing. Can you say amen to that? Say, kill it, Lord. Kill it, Lord. And it doesn't, whatever is troubling you, whatever is causing you, whatever is keeping you, tell the Lord, kill it, Lord. You can do it. You can do it. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, 6 through 13 says this. I love this, man. He says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his, what? His thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Because, folks, I will tell you, those thoughts, those dirty thoughts, those nasty thoughts, or thoughts. Yeah, hey, I was driving to California one time, middle of the night, nobody around. There's a chopper, a motorcycle, sitting right on the side of the road. Beautiful looking thing. I drove by it, and I thought, if I had a truck, I'd pull that in my truck. Then I thought, I don't even ride motorcycles. Why do I even think that? See, it was not a good thought. I was a Christian then. It was not a good thought. I go, what? And I recognized it. I said, no, that's not my thought. Shut up. Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. and let him return to the Lord, and God will have mercy on you. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad God's a merciful God? He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So, listen. The rain coming down causes growth. Is that right? Growth. That's basically what it's saying, growth. Amen? So he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. Is that right? Folks, I will tell you, God's word will bring growth to you if you let it. If you look at the things that you're having trouble with and say, Lord, I want you to kill it. And the word of God in Revelation, it says that Jesus pulls out his big old glittering sword. Is that right, Terry? It's a shiny sword. And you know what? It's double-edged. What does that mean? It cuts going in, it'll cut coming out, and it'll cut anything it needs to cut. Can you say amen to that? And the Lord pulls out a sword and says, I'm going to kill that thing. Can you say amen? Because I too, Lord says, because I too am tired of looking at it. Come on, can you say amen to that? Ooh, yeah. As it goes forth out of my, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, is what it says, right? And it shall prosper into, listen, it shall prosper in, everybody say the thing. Watch this. To where, it says, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Didn't Jesus say that I didn't come on my own, but my Father sent me? You see, his word is sent to you. You're the thing.
No.
Is that right? Is that okay? You are the thing. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. I say, yeah, Lord, let it prosper in that thing. Well, what thing? Me. Let that word prosper in me. Because you sent it, God. Hallelujah. It says, for you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains shall break forth into singing. Can you say amen to that? Can you imagine that? Yeah. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands, and instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Can you say amen to that? You'll be led forth with peace. You'll go out with joy. Does that say anything about your enemies that, or about those things that are coming against you? The fear, the unthankfulness, the unforgiving, the anger, the malice towards somebody. Does it say anything about that? No, it says you'll be led forth with peace because it will accomplish what happens within you. Is that okay? It's happening to you. It's in you. It's a growth. Romans 14:17 says this, for the kingdom of God. Listen, the kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink. It's not in natural stuff. Is that right? Is that what he's told us before? The kingdom, you can't see it here. You say, somebody says, go over there, and go over there. Go to that church called Sarita House of Worship. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the kingdom. It's within you. This kingdom is in you. And so for the kingdom is not of food and drink or meat and drink or burgers and tacos. It's not. As much as I think it's tacos. Because they seem heavenly to me. Yeah. It's not in that stuff. It's not in the natural. It's in the spiritual. And it says God, that the kingdom of God is not in drink or meat, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. Folks, those are characteristics of the kingdom. It's not some guy screaming his head off and then turning around and saying, hey, I'm head of the church now. Yeah, no, it's not that. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are telltale signs of the kingdom. And God will lead you in those things, and you'll speak God's word to folks that you never thought you'd speak. Yeah, you won't even get up here and talk a little bit on the phone, but oh boy, you speak out there. Because the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll begin to speak. You might not know this, but I'm prophesying to you right now. God is going to use you. Open your mouth to speak to those that are around you in your neighborhood. Things will come out of your spirit that you never even realized they were there. Because God is speaking to them through you. It's not you. You're dead. How many say amen to that? You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. The Bible says it's given unto man once to die. One time. And then it says, and then the judgment. You know what the judgment is? It's how God sees things. That's his judgment. And he shows and he sees and he says, that person over here needs somebody. Let me look. Let me look. Let me look. I'll send Aaron. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Is that right? Yeah. That's how it works. We're dead. We've died in Christ. Can you say amen? Would you stand? Would you stand? Hallelujah. You know what happens when something's dead too long? But Lord, he stinketh. Is that right? Come on, man. Come on, man. You've got to realize that the old man needs to be put off. Because I will tell you, he stinks. He stinks. You need to put on the new man. That's renewed in righteousness. He's got an odor. He's got a fragrance about the new man. Can you say amen to that? Some people pick up on fragrances. I should. I got a nose big enough. But I don't pick up fragrances. I pick up on warmth. I'll feel the Lord come in. I said, oh yeah, oh yeah. Come on, man. God's saying something. God, who? I started looking around. Who you want me to say? Who you want me to talk to? Who you want me to open my mouth to, man? He said, open your mouth and I will fill it. God's desiring to use the body of Christ. Listen, to instruct the world. You've got more going for you than anyone that doesn't know the Lord. You've got more because the Lord dwells in you. Can you say amen? Father, I thank you this morning for your people. God, I ask you, Lord, that you'd continue, Lord, to do that growth within us. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would, Father God, cause us to walk in a way, Father God, ooh, hallelujah, that the world around us, Father God, it's recognizable that we are not normal. Father, I thank you for that. But God, we are super normal in the kingdom, Lord. Father, I ask you that you would touch each and every heart this morning, Lord. Use them for your kingdom, God. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. Father, I pray that you would touch those that are hurting, even right now in this house, Lord, anyone that has an ailment. Anyone that has an ailment. Father, anyone that their body is refusing to listen to the word of God that says, by his stripes I've been healed. He sent his word and healed me. Father, I speak to them. Bypass the mind, Father. Go right to the heart and heal them, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, God. I praise you for it. Let it be that they came into church one way, and as they go out, they've got something brand new. Thank you for that, Father. Glory to your name, Lord. We thank you and we praise you today in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. thank you for coming to church this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.